Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now with Denise Thompson. I'm an educator, speaker, author, health coach, and very passionate about happy, healthy, and balanced living. Today's topic is how does stress affect your marriage? What are the signs that actually come forth when we are stressed in marriage and when we start seeing some things changing? So I am listing just a few. I am not a psychologist and I'm not a doctor. I am a nurse and an educator and a health coach. So I have a lot of information, and everything that I'm telling you is either experience, personal experience, or research that I have done that is common knowledge, and that's what I'm sharing with you. If you want to find out more, go and ask your doctor or go and ask a professional in that field, because, as I said, I am not given prescriptions, I am giving suggestions that have worked for me and for others that I know. Anyway, some signs of how stress affects your marriage. Stress causes tension. And since we're talking about marriage, it's tension between partners. When you get there, tension causes miscommunication because we're not thinking clearly anymore. And then when we have miscommunication, we have misunderstanding. And misunderstanding leads to anger and frustration. And to top that, anger and frustration leads to lashing out, or even in the highest thing, to domestic violence or death, murder. We don't want to go there. Let's acknowledge the signs and recognize them when they happen at the very beginning and start taking care of it so it doesn't escalate all the way up to domestic violence or death. That is not one thing I can promote. I'm totally against it. So that's why I am talking about these things, to give you ideas on how to actually help each other, or look at yourself, look in a mirror and see how tight your facial skin is, how many wrinkles you have from frowning. Where's the smile? Where's the laughter? Oh my, when you laugh heartily, there is no way that you can be angry. I tried it. I make fun of myself and I go, I am so angry. And I looked in the mirror and I started laughing. And I tell you honestly, try it for yourself. Don't believe me. Try it for yourself. Start laughing from the bottom of your heart when you start feeling anger and frustration coming on. And it will dissipate. It will go away because the two of them just don't work together. All right. So these are the major signs of stress. Of course, it can also lead into health issues and serious illnesses and mental illnesses and all that stuff. But I just want to focus on the easiest ones. If I have more time at the end, I can go deeper. Some of the tips that I have mentioning here are: be open and honest in your communication with your partner. Be transparent. Say what you mean and don't sugarcoat. Totally be honest. You know, if the partner cannot take your honesty, they cannot take when you fib. And the person who suffers the most through fibbing is yourself. Because when you fib so often, how can you keep it straight? So that's why I'm saying have an open, honest communication. Spend more quality time together. That doesn't mean just in the bedroom. It means sitting at the table or in a comfort chair and have a conversation about something that you have noticed or something that interests both of you. Anything that gets you closer to one another and does not cause tension. Relax together. Go for a walk. Go for a swim. Do something. Go for a hike. Do whatever feels, a bike ride. Anything that feels good and that's relaxing. Do it together. Because what I say is shared joy is double the joy. Shared happiness is double the happiness. And when you're happy and healthy, and you show it, and you are it, you are being it, you're totally healthy, you are at your optimal health, it is contagious to your partner. They want the same because they see you, and they see how happy, focused, and balanced you are. Do those things together. Talk to one another. Maybe sometimes you need to compromise. Still, just seeing that your partner is willing to work with you, looking each other in the eyes when making commitments, that is such an awesome thing. As I said, I'm talking from 36 years of experience in marriage. I'm talking about somebody, and then somebody is myself, who didn't speak the language when I came to the U.S. And when we fell in love, my husband and I, at that time boyfriend, it was so different. It was so difficult to communicate because I understood more than I could say, but I couldn't write most of it. Because when you say auto, is it a name? Or is it a car? Do you spell it O-T-T-O or A-U-T-O? By just hearing it and not getting the context, there was no way for me to know how to spell it. The same with red. Is it a color, spelled R-E-D? Or is it something that you have read, a book, R-E-A-D? It's pronounced exactly the same way. The English language is a very, very difficult language. Very beautiful, and I love it. And it's my fourth language. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm telling you, I really want to get to the bottom of the language. I want to understand it. I want to be able to understand colloquialisms and jokes, which at some time are still difficult. So the reason why I'm saying that is for you to take those things into consideration. Having different backgrounds, different languages, different cultures, different habits can make it a little bit more challenging to understand each other. And that's why an open and honest communication is even more important. Another one that really works for both of us, my husband and myself, is to listen to music, something that we like, a genre that we both enjoy, be it classical or country music, whatever it is that both of you enjoy, and then focus on the sounds, sometimes on the lyrics, and just really live it. I know that music is very, very healing. I think I told you before, last year when I fractured my shoulder and I couldn't play my piano anymore. Oh my, that wasn't any good at all. So what I started doing is just play the left hand that was in a sling as close to my body as I could and just a little bit and play the right hand. And the more I played and the more I sang, the more flexibility I got in my arm and in my shoulder, the tightness started loosening up. And within 5 months of the injury, I had pretty much full recovery. And doctor and physical therapy told me, oh, it's going to take at least a year to get back to using your arm and doing something. Do you believe that? Well, I don't know if it was because I was stubborn or determined, but I did not let that statement deter my determination and work on getting better. And now my shoulder is perfectly fine. I can even start leaning on my arms and doing things and getting stuff down from the cupboard, which I could not do for 5 months, 4 months, 4.5 months, and 5 months I was pretty much there. So there are all these things that we can do. My pleasure was to rehab mostly in the pool by walking and moving and stretching. And water resistance is so much easier than doing things on land. So find your niche. Find what works for you and do it together. No secrets. They only cause doubt, which causes trouble, then stress. And that leads to divorce, which leads back to stress or even more stress. And then it affects your health. You name it. It's a catch-22. And we really don't want to go there. I want to share some statistics about divorce in the USA with you, just so you have an idea why this is such an important topic to me. And no, we are not getting divorced. We're going strong because we have made a commitment and we're working everything out and we're honest with each other. But in the statistics that I've found for U.S. stats, U.S. divorces, it says 41% of first marriages end up in divorces or in divorce. 60% of second marriages end in divorce. 73% of third marriages end in divorce. Oh my, why is the percentage rising, the number of marriages you've had? That is so sad. Unbelievable. It says the highest rate in percentage of divorce in women is at the ages 20 to 24, and that percentage is 36.6%. The highest rate in men is ages 20 to 24 at 38.8%. And then the older you get, the lower the divorce rate. I don't know, but for me, this is an eye-opener. When people get married too young, they just really do not have the experience yet in life to know how to handle a partnership in marriage, how to work with one another, and not just throw the towel in and give up and go for a divorce. Unfortunately, this is one of the easiest things in the U.S. to get a divorce. And I am not very happy about that, though it is not I who decides about that. It is the lawyers. And whatever they decide and whatever the government says is okay, I can't shake, though I can make a difference. And that is by creating an awareness that it's safe to say you should not get married under 24, 25 years old because the divorce rate is the highest. So take that into consideration. Finish a college education first. I have some more stats, actually, and I'm going to share some with you because I still have some time, just so you see where actually my major concern, which is stress, and this is caused by so many things, comes from. There are divorce facts. under the 32 shocking divorce statistics, McKinley Irvine, I think. It says divorce facts. In America, there is one divorce approximately every, now listen very carefully, every 36 seconds. That's to a minute, pretty much. That's nearly 2,400 divorces per day, 16,800 divorces per week, and 876,000 divorces a year. Does this mean anything to you? Are you thinking about it? What you can better in your marriage? How you can make it work so you're not one of those statistics? Another fact is the average length of a marriage that ends in divorce is 8 years. I thought it was 7, but they moved it up to 8. People wait an average of 3 years after a divorce to remarry, if they remarry at all. The average age for couples going through their first divorce is 30 years old. Again, if they get married at 22 and at 30, they have their 8 years, and that's one of the high statistics for divorce, it all adds up, but it's very sad. Another one, 79.6% of custodial mothers receive a support award, while only 29.6% of custodial fathers receive a support award. That actually struck me as very interesting and not so fair. Now, of course, society has it that women are more apt to stay home and tend to their children and try to raise them. But there are quite a few fathers that I do know from my previous country and from the U.S. who are or have been and still are amazing fathers to their children, and the wives just couldn't handle it. They just walked out. So in this case, I would say prevention of getting pregnant is better than having children and run out on them, because it has an effect on them. And later on, we're going to talk about that. I think it's going to be November 3rd. We're going to talk about how stress affects children. So about 1% of the total number of currently married same-sex couples gets divorced each year, in comparison to about 2% of married straight couples. Note that the percent of couples that get divorced eventually is 50%, but only 1 or 2% get divorced in a particular year. Then they give an example about Mel and Robin Gibson's divorce in 2009. It's considered to be the largest celebrity divorce settlement, as Mel paid his ex $425 million, that is, $1 million for a settlement. The celebrity who has been married and divorced the most is actress Zsa Gabor, who has been married 9 times. And now comes the shocking one here. Britney Spears holds the record for shortest celebrity marriage. Her union with friend Jason Alexander lasted only 55 hours before it was annulled. How can you be married for 55 hours and then have it annulled? I mean, this is heartbreaking. This is all stress related. I can say that. Statistics on the likelihood of divorce. If your parents are happily married, your risk of divorce decreases, gets lower by 14%. People who wait to marry until they are over the age of 25 are 24% less likely to get divorced. Maybe I was one of the lucky ones because I was 27 when we got married. So that's pretty awesome. I already had done a lot, and I came from a different country, learned a different language, different traditions, different culture, and that all gave me strength. Now, another one that I had no idea about, which is a fact, living together prior to getting married can increase the chance of getting divorced by as much as 40%. That means increase. But another good one, if you attended college, your risk of divorce decreases by 13%. So this is just really, really amazing. I mean, not amazing in a positive way, but amazing in a sad way. There are some statistics about divorce and children. The divorce rate among couples with children is 40% lower than couples without children. 43% of children grow up in America today are being raised without their fathers. 75% of children with divorced parents live with their mothers. 28% of children living with a divorced parent live in a household with an income below the poverty line. Half of all American children will witness the breakup of a parent's marriage. Of these children, close to half will also see the breakup of a parent's second marriage. So you can see it also has to do with, they talk about religion has something to do with it and the area where you live. For example, it says, which states have the highest divorce rate? Oklahoma has the highest overall divorce rate at 13.45%. 32% of Oklahoma adults who have ever been married have been divorced. Arkansas has the second highest rate of divorce in the country at 13.15%. The divorce rate of men in Arkansas is the highest in the country at 13.5%. Alaska's divorce rate of 13.05% is the third highest. Alaska has the highest divorce rate for women in the country at 16.2%. Overall, living in northeastern states have lower marriage and divorce rates. While those in southern states are more likely to get married, they also have higher divorce rates. And again, divorce statistics can highlight facets of divorce that follow unexpected trends. For a better understanding of the divorce process, visit McKinley Irvin's divorce blog. And those were just some facts that I got, so I have something to document to make sure you understand how just a topic alone can actually stress you out. But don't do it. The best way of not getting stressed is when you realize something coming on. Stop dead in your tracks. I mean, not when you're driving. Don't slam on the brakes. Please don't do that. But when you're on ground, in the office, at home, restroom, wherever you are, if you can stop, close your eyes, and take a deep breath in through your mouth to the count of four. And then hold it to the count of seven. Exhale hard through your mouth to the count of eight. Like, you're blowing out all the negativity, everything that entered your body, the bad thoughts, everything, you're blowing it out. Do that at least 3 to 5 times. And when you're done with it and you open your eyes slowly, you feel rejuvenated, refreshed, and you won't have those bad feelings, anger, and tension anymore. And you can actually get to the point where you can communicate with your partner in peace, calm, and quiet, without screaming and yelling, without raising your voice, without getting upset and cause more and more tension, and getting into the points that I mentioned at the very beginning. So I want to give you a free gift where you can find some things, and that is OurEverydayLife.com effects-can-stress-marriage-2372.html. You should be able to click on the link when you listen to the show and you go below to the transcript. Then I have my contact information, which is, as always, http://www.micklenight.com. That's MICLKNIGHT.com. Or my email, dythomson@micklenight.com. If you want to send me some feedback or questions or something, I'd be happy to answer them. And should I not have an appropriate answer, I will find somebody who does and who can give you the answer that you need. That is my commitment to you. My phone number is 562-335-4956. You can either call me, text me, or leave me a voicemail when I can't answer the phone. And I will get back with you within 24 to 48 hours. Next week we're gonna have I'm gonna have a wonderful guest on the show with me. Her name is Jade, and if you want to go check her out already, we're gonna talk about how does stress affect weight, and it has an amazing impact on it. You can check her out already at www.jadeelizabeth.com. That's JadeElizabeth.com. Jade Elizabeth is all in one word. And she's going to be my guest for next week. You're going to be in for one incredible treat. So put it in your calendars. Next Thursday, October 20th. At 11 a.m. if you want to listen to it live and ask questions. Otherwise, you can always listen to it afterwards. You know that they are recorded and you can go back as often as you want to. So, having said that, I'm going to say until next week, stay happy, healthy, balanced, and empowered. I wish you all a most wonderful week, and breathe again, because breathing is the best medicine besides laughter to get healthy and to reduce stress and not to get ill and just to be positive. That is very important. I wish you all a wonderful, fulfilled week to live, and I'll talk to you next week with my guest, Jade, with the topic, how does stress affect your weight? Until next week, goodbye.